Welcome to the Supercast. I'm your host, Superintendent Anthony Godfrey. Today we hit the road with an episode we hope will help parents navigate all the nervousness and stress that may come with new teen drivers. Riverton High School driver ed instructor Steve Galley invited us along inside the car for a driving lesson with two students. What we learned can help keep everyone, students and adults alike, safer on the road. We are here at the north parking lot of Riverton High School with Mr. Steve Galley. Steve, introduce yourself a little bit to the listeners of the Supercast. You've worn a lot of hats in Jordan District.
I am in my 21st year here at Riverton, and I've also spent 5 years at West Jordan, and that's where I got started in driver ed, and I've done a lot of coaching as well, and I've been the department chair of driver ed here at Riverton since we opened the school.
What are some misperceptions on the part of students and even parents?
I think one is sometimes parents think that they will learn everything about driving in the driver education course and that we will teach them everything about driving in 3 hours in the car.
So 3 hours in the car, is that how long the driving time is off range?
That's the road time.
That's the road time.
And then they have range time.
That's less than I remembered. It seemed like a lot longer than that at the time.
You may have been struggling behind the wheel at that time.
that is absolutely true. I continue to struggle.
Yeah, we don't get very much time with them, and so it's critical that the parents, in their practice time, the 40 hours that they need to do with the students, it's critical that there's a connection between teacher, parents, and students, and the things they're learning in class are being practiced and worked on with the parents. And when that happens, then we see a huge difference when we get in the car with them.
If the student wants to start driving and get their license on their 16th birthday, at what age should they start driving?
Well, I know we encourage parents to wait a couple months after their 15th birthday to get their permit. A lot of students are anxious, they get it on the 15th birthday, but it will expire 1 year from when they get it. Sometimes many students turn 16 before the end of the quarter, and so they end up having to pay another $19 and renew their permit. So we encourage them to wait a couple of months, but I think if the student is eager and wants to practice, I like them getting their permit close to their 15th birthday, so they can start experimenting and practicing. And it's not perfect, because obviously you would want them to learn some things from the teacher and from the class that they don't get. We're hoping that parents aren't, you know, they're not forming a lot of bad habits, but they're becoming more comfortable behind the wheel. But you notice a difference with the ones that have had a good number of hours before they get to the class.
What advice do you have for parents on being patient with their child in the car?
This happens a lot. It's interesting too when you ask students. They will, I ask them, do you have a freak out parent? And you know, that they just start chattering and, you know, oh, my mom this, and oh no, no, it's my dad. And who do you like to drive with? Well, I like to drive with my dad because he's calmer. And some are like, oh no, I don't want to drive with my dad. He just yells the whole time. So there's two things that we emphasize. One is talking and planning the drive as much as possible. And that can't always happen because there's spontaneous drives. But if they can talk about, okay, these are some things that we've learned in class. These are some things that I need to practice. These are things that are going to be on the road test. And you can go into the drive with a little bit of a plan. Students tell me the stress level will drop considerably. And then the other thing is we use a strategy that's called commentary driving. And I've taught this for almost 15 years. I've really started to emphasize it the last few years. And it simply is the student talking in conversational tone about what they are seeing, what they are predicting, what they are planning on doing. They're going through the whole driving task mentally, but they're talking out loud. This does a couple of really good things. It forces the student to focus on the concepts that they've been learning. They get to repeat terms. They get to emphasize things that that their parents may not be talking to them about, but the teacher wants them to do.
Right.
And then the absolute awesome byproduct of commentary driving is that it usually lowers the stress level of the parent, because instead of trying to read the student's mind and guess what they think is going on, they can hear what the student is thinking. And instead of, like, if you're wondering if they see the little girl on the bike, instead of arguing about the little girl on the bike and hey, watch out for the little girl on the bike, and you're like, I saw the little girl on the bike, and then you're arguing about that. It's when she or he says, and I see the little girl on the bike. Okay, stress level
goes
drops.
Down. Yeah. I'm approaching a stop sign. I'm going to put on the brakes.
Yes.
So they're really narrating their own driving.
It is. It's commentary driving. It's narration. I know in our classes, we show examples of it. We show videos of it. When we're with students, I don't do as much of it, mainly because we're more experienced. It's easier for us. We're in a marked car. We have brakes.
Sure.
We have, I don't know, some of our teachers were sold. We've had thousands of hours of this. We're really used to it. But parents, they're in their car. They don't do this all the time. They may be arguing with their son about cleaning his room. You know, I never have to have that argument with them. We just focus on driving.
So there's no baggage you bring to the drive.
I don't do as much, but if a student is really struggling with something, for example, intersections, they're hesitant, they're making wrong decisions, I'm having to intervene and prevent, you know, possible crashes, then I'll have them use commentary driving. And within seconds, and parents can do this too, within seconds, you will be able to identify what they are not doing, because you'll know what they're thinking, and then you have a better chance of fixing it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I would imagine that if you are along for the ride on a lot of commentary driving, then you start to hear your own voice in your head as you're driving.
It can get a little annoying too. You
I'll bet.
I've had parents tell me, it's like, okay, she's really doing the commentary driving, and it's been great, but do we have to do it for an entire hour on a drive? Probably not.
So that's funny. So what are some of the things that students struggle with the most? I should spend time with you parallel parking, first of all.
Yes.
Because I think that's a skill that I've not developed.
Most people don't want to develop that, and it's funny you mention that. I personally think it's the least important thing on the road test, but it's the one thing that's talked about and feared so much. In fact, I just read a report this past week. Nevada has dropped parallel parking from their state road test.
Because, really?
Yeah. You don't find very much of it, you know, downtown areas, I guess, but people don't like to do it. People are more willing to actually drive around the block for a half hour and find.
I'd rather walk six blocks in the rain than parallel park downtown.
But I will tell you, there's one thing that I've really noticed the last few years, and I think driving has become more challenging. There's a lot more at stake. It's very dangerous. But we have a lot of students who are just absolutely terrified of going on the freeway.
Yeah.
We have a lot of parents who are equally terrified to be a passenger on the freeway with their son or daughter driving.
Yeah.
So we work on strategies to help them to overcome that fear. I think if you have teachers that are really explaining the road test. And we have a really high pass rate here at Riverton, but we also don't test any students if we don't feel like they're
ready.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the idea is success. And
sure.
So if they need to work on things, we will slow it down a little bit so they can get better. But I don't know. We have so many students that after the fact say, I don't know why I was getting so worked up about that. You know, there was...
Do you find a lot of students wait to get their driver license more than in the past, or not necessarily?
You know, a nationwide trend since about 2012 is there are fewer, and this is every state, fewer students are getting their licenses. Some just don't take driver's ed. many take driver's ed, take the classroom phase, but don't actually finish all of the driving. And the major studies that are linked or that have looked at this, researched this, they've linked it to the cell phone, the smartphone.
Oh, wow.
Kids are, whereas you and I, you know, we used to go knock on our friend's door to play. We used to, in high school, we would put $5 of gas. You'd drive around. You'd go to your friends. And, of course, they still do that stuff now, but they have instant connection to not only their friends, but the world on their phone. And driving is scary. And driving can be, and also it can be expensive
too. Yeah.
Fuel, car, insurance, everything. So, it's not as many.
That's interesting. So let's say someone is listening to the Supercast right now, driving in their car. What mistakes are they probably making? They're listening right now. Talk them through it. What do they need to be thinking about that they're not thinking about?
Well, they actually could be distracted by the Supercast.
I mean, yes. Well, you know, it's very engaging content.
It is audio, so that is better. But I would, you know, the distraction is a huge thing.
Okay. So stop texting. Put your phone down.
Yeah, I don't know that there's obviously the people that do some major violations of the law. But here are some that you would say people are. You know, I'm not going to go to jail for this. I'm not a bad person, but you probably should make a complete stop.
Yeah.
You probably one I see a lot is violating right turn on red, which is illegal unless it's posted that you can't. But you're supposed to stop first.
Yeah.
Most people treat it like a green light rather than a red light. Is your seatbelt on right now? I would ask you, is your seatbelt on? And if it's not on, I've got a question for you. If you're not going to wear it for you, will you wear it for the people that you love? Will you put that seatbelt on?
Great
thought.
And
speeding, number one. You know, there's a lot of, you know, 5 over, 9 over.
Yeah.
My friend's a cop. He said you can go 7 over. I mean, you hear all these stories.
Right.
And speed is the number one risk factor in all crashes. It's the most common risk factor. It's like that you were going too fast.
Yeah. Do you have any horror stories? Are there some crazy things that have happened out on the road that just kind of surprised you?
Most of the really crazy stories are actually not driving related.
Oh.
You know, it's like I have an upset stomach, but they usually say it a different way.
Yeah,
they're usually things like that. As far as actual driving stuff, it is when I first got into driver's ed, I thought every day was going to be a brush with death. I thought
yeah.
You know, this is just going to be, the kids are just, we're going to be up on, you know, up on people's lawns. We're going to be, you know, and it really is pretty tame. We're in a really controlled environment. Our biggest surprises, at least for me, my biggest surprises rarely come from the students. They usually come from other drivers, and
wow.
They are usually adult drivers.
So it's not that the students are driving poorly, it's that when you're on the road so much, you see some terrible behavior from adults.
And their biggest challenge, and one reason why they get in a lot of crashes, is an experienced driver is able to react to those things because they've been around it longer, whereas a student may not be doing anything wrong or making a minor mistake, but they are not able to predict and react to what is happening to them. And so then they don't avoid the crash, or they panic and do something that, you know, contributes to the crash.
Sure.
So that's why all these, the practice hours are so critical. They can't get enough practice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's I'd never thought of it that way, that it would be the adults reacting to the bad behavior of adults and the mistakes of adults around them. That's the difficult part. What do you like most about teaching driver education?
What is really awesome is that it's different from being in the class with 30 to 40 kids. You're in the car with two or three kids, and you're stuck together for 2+ hours.
Right.
And you get to know the kids better. I enjoy being with the kids and talking to them. And then there's just a real rewarding aspect that what you're doing is this can be a life and death thing. And this is a practical skill that they're going to use probably almost every day of their life.
Yeah.
And so there's a little, you know, there's some personal pride there that I want them to be confident. I want them to be skilled. I want them to be safe.
Sure.
And we do the best we can with the limited time that we get.
Yeah. I was always envious when I worked at the high school level of the driver education teachers, because you got to know so many kids. When you had them only for a quarter,
right,
and you got to know them as sophomores,
yes,
then you know them the whole time you're there, and you got to know so much of the student population. I think that's a real advantage.
It is awesome.
Any advice for when people are driving along and they see a driver ed car, what should they do? Any advice there?
Be patient. Keep a good distance. One of our most frustrating things is when we're tailgated. The teacher may actually be giving that student an official road test. But on a road test, if there's no danger of, you know, a crash or anything, the teacher is not going to say anything there.
Right.
Because the student has to make the decision. The teacher will jump in if there's some real danger.
It's been a long time since I was involved with driver education. But when I worked with the high schools, I learned that there is extra equipment installed in the car. So when you're riding with the student, you have your own brake on your side.
We have our own brake. Yes.
And how frequently do you end up using that?
Way, way less than you would ever expect. Huh. Not that often.
Riding with my mom, she thinks there's a phantom brake there, and she would stomp the bottom of the floor of the car, thinking that I wasn't stopping fast enough. So you have the actual brake.
I do that in non-driver's ed cars when I'm in the passenger seat.
Yeah, I'll bet
it's just
you do.
Natural, because we rest our foot, and so you're ready to go.
Well, hey, let's hop in the car.
Okay.
Thanks to driver ed instructor Steve Galley for sharing some important safe driving tips for teen drivers, and for those of us who have been behind the wheel for decades. Up next, we talk to Maddie and Jane, two driver ed students who are learning to be safe and responsible young drivers thanks to their instructor, Mr. Steve Galley.
Do you want to know what's going on in Jordan School District? Maybe see your child or a friend featured in a school story? Check out our website at jordandistrict.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Jordan District. Let's connect today.
We are here in, what, do you name these cars, Mr. Galley?
No, we don't. We don't name them.
We're in car number 719.
550.
Okay, car number 550. Ladies, tell us your name.
I'm Maddie.
Maddie and?
Jane.
Maddie and Jane. Jane's at the wheel. Jane, how much driving have you done?
Oh, a lot. You're in safe hands, don't worry.
I'm not worried at all. I'm quite excited, actually. So what do you guys think about getting your driver license? Are you pretty excited?
I actually already got mine, and it's way fun.
Is there a new sense of independence?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's kind of overwhelming, but I like it.
Okay, Jane, where are you going to take us?
Well, that's Mr. Galley's decision.
Oh, Mr. Galley tells you which way to go. Have you done the commentary driving? We were talking about that.
Not in this car, but with my parents, yes, I did.
And what do you think? Does that help you think through the driving?
Yeah, a lot. It really helps, actually.
So when will you be 16? When will you be eligible to get your license?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Are you prepared to get it on your birthday?
I hope so, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, she's actually, when we're done, she's going to be taking her test today.
Oh, wow. Dynamite. Well, thanks for waiting, you guys. I enjoyed talking to Mr. Galley so much, I just kept doing it. So, all right, I'm ready.
Okay, Jane, let's go left. Let's go left. We're going to go out of the parking lot. We're going to go actually drive now.
She's doing great so far. We got out of the parking lot well. Jane's focused but relaxed.
Jane, tell me what you see. What's happening in front of us?
A lot of kids on the sidewalk, probably from the
What else do you see to your right, Jane?
Car coming out of the parking lot.
Jane, do you see those two lights?
Yes.
Jane, we've got to be under 20 when we hit these lights.
All right.
Jane, we're not under 20. There we go.
We're now under 20.
Pressure, stale green light.
Stale.
That was stale. 4 seconds left on the clock.
Did you just call it a stale green light?
Stale green light. A light that has been green a long time. Let's see if Maddie knows the clues. What are some of the clues to know if a green light is fresh or stale?
You look at the crosswalk signs and see how much time is left on them.
And what if we approached a green light and you saw a white walk signal, white pedestrian signal?
That's fresh.
That is a fresh green light. So this helps them to make better, quicker intersection decisions. If you know a light is fresh, and you're within, 7 seconds or so, then you're gonna be going through that light. So now you can start focusing on other things. If it's a stale green light, then we, depending on how far away we are, we're looking for what we call the point of no return, which we use the second arrow or the end of the left turn lane line, whichever one is closest to the intersection. So instead of being surprised by yellow, instead of reacting late, instead of panicking, we're trying to teach them to prepare for that in advance.
Light just turned green, so it's fresh, and so I can go straight through the light and then blind spot check and speed up.
Yes, we work on actually using our turn signals. Do you think this is good following distance?
Yeah.
Explain this.
It should be a 2 second gap. So how?
Minimum. Minimum.
Minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
And how you check, you pick a landmark, like a light post or a pole. And when the car in front of you passes that object, you start counting, and it should be
we want to be
2 seconds,
2 seconds
away.
Yeah. So how far away from this Suburban are we?
2, 3, 4, about 5 seconds.
Yes.
Guarantee I'm going to be paying better attention to my driving after this.
What are you doing right here, Jane, that is excellent?
Habit 14 is to, when you come to a stop behind a car, be far away enough that you can see the back of their tires.
Excellent.
Well, I don't do that. That's good. You're supposed to see the back of their tires, Jane, is that right?
Yes, that makes sure you have plenty of space in case something comes up, you can react.
Light's green, so I'm going to come up, last traffic check, make my turn into the first lane, corresponding lane.
Good. The timing was, on all of your head checks, the timing was excellent.
Great. Speed limit's 35.
What do you see up here?
Car pulling out right in front and
what
a school
else?
Zone.
Yeah. Okay, so earlier when we talked about adults doing wrong thing, that the driver that just pulled out, that they should have never pulled out right there. And it did surprise Jane a little bit.
Yeah, I did see them pull through. What do you like most about driving?
Just like the freedom, I guess.
Did you drive with your parents?
Well, yeah, before I got my license.
How much driving did you do with them?
Definitely more than 40 hours. We
drove
a lot.
I have to narrate a little bit here that Jane did an amazing three-point turn. The thing that you always worry about when I'm making a three-point turn is that it becomes a six-point turn. And she did great. There was a big brick mailbox right in front of her. She just eased right up to it, knew just how close to get, nailed it.
Thank you very much.
Well, nailed the maneuver, didn't nail the mailbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Completed a well-executed three-point turn.
There was one maneuver that Dr. Gottfried said was his favorite.
his favorite. It's to our right. Do you see the one to our right here?
The blind spot or the head check?
No, this maneuver here.
Oh, the parallel parking?
Yeah, he loves it.
I love it.
He loves it. He's constantly working on it.
Yes, I'm refining my skills always.
I mean, do you want to practice it now?
Yeah, probably.
It might be kind of funny.
Let's practice it. Let's try it.
So let's so we can get set up for it properly. Let's do straight line backing so we can approach.
While she gets ready.
I think parallel parking is the least important maneuver, and this is what I would say to Jane is, I would much rather that she is an all-American intersection decision maker driver than to be the world's best parallel parker.
I think that's good advice going into this.
Okay.
So by the way, Jane is testing today. Yes. And so I admire that she's willing to ride around with me on test day. But she should be very confident going in. She's done great.
Okay, let's do I'm just going to talk you through this, and I'm only going to jump in if I think you need a little bit of help. So for the listener, we're looking at two tall orange cones. We've got two red painted marks on the curb, and so we're not really parking between cars, and we have a big tree that's planted in the middle. Okay, so signal, rearview mirror, blind spot, and we're going to pull over, so we're about 3 feet away from that cone, and we're going to get it parallel. It's just, and that's good. Her signal popped off, and Jane's putting it back on.
All right, here we go.
We turn it hard right, and then we just go very slow. This is a good speed. We want to get about halfway in, and this is good. Okay. All right, we may be a little close to this cone. When most people back in, they rarely actually do the backing perfectly. So at this point, correcting, straightening, centering, if you can do that, it really doesn't matter if you make some minor mistakes on the initial back in. So what do you think you need to do here?
Move back a little bit.
Yep. This is one of our hybrid cars too.
Yeah, I can tell. It keeps shutting down, which would have thrown me in driver ed.
If we take 17 minutes to parallel park, it will shut down. Okay, now we are just inside the gutter. This is legal parking, straightened, centered, and with the pressure of a microphone. You did it.
Jane, right. The only time I've been scared on the whole drive with you is when I thought Mr. Galley was going to make me parallel park.
I actually thought about it, but then I remembered that technically you are my boss.
Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this. This has been awesome. Mr. Galley, thank you so much
for talking
with me and taking me on a drive. Maddie,
thank you.
Congrats on having your license. And Jane, I have every confidence you are going to pass this test with flying colors.
Thank you.
Thanks for a great drive, you guys. We had a lot of fun with Jane and Maddie and their instructor, Steve Galley. Hopefully you heard something here today that will help you as parents navigate all the anxiety that may come with having new teen drivers in the house. Thanks to everyone for listening. And remember, education is the most important thing you will do today. We'll see you out there. We'll be right back.